Well, you know, I was out there this morning and put a bale of hay out, and the birds was singing. And earlier this week, which is highly unusual for me, but I laid in bed in the middle of the day, slept a lot of it, the martins are singing so pretty outside the house, and I've just enjoyed this spring tremendously. I was out there this morning as I was putting that hay out and looking around and just enjoying what I was looking at and how pretty and green things are right now, though the ground is cracking because we're needing rain. And how things are blooming so pretty. And I just was wondering how much longer I'm going to be able to walk amongst it and see it. And how I love to hear the martins sing, and there's something about that bird. It can be 100 feet in the air, but the sound that they give off, I take notice to it. And all of those things will come to an end as my life ends here. And I thought about that, you know, just how much longer I might have to enjoy that. And then my mind comes to, when those things end here, what we have waiting for us on the other side. Here I might listen to Martin sing, but on the other side it'll be angels. Here I might smell the flowers of a tree that fades in just a little while, but over there they never fade. Here we might enjoy the green grass for a little season, but then drought comes. But there isn't such a thing known in that holy land as a shortage of moisture, for it always be green. You and I, everything we enjoy here, no matter how much pleasure it brings to us, when this life is over, God's got something much better waiting for us. We need to lift your eyes above it. Say goodbye to it. You know, I've said before in my life, oh, how wonderful it'd be to have an ever-blooming lilac or an ever-blooming wisteria or something like that that just smells so beautiful. Well, you know, that's what there is in heaven. It's ever blooming. And you and I, when we go there, the joys that we've tasted of in this life, what we'll have there will far surpass it. The joys we've had in our best service here, before we enter that holy city 10 feet, we'll say it surpasses anything I ever experienced in my Christian life before. Why? Because God said it's not even entered into the heart of man. Can you imagine what it'll be like as the people start walking into that city? And as we go in, every step of the way, walking up all streets of pure gold, every day we're looking at new and surpassed better than anything we ever saw before. And when you say, I have never seen nothing so beautiful, there before, what we the throne of God, they have set upon it. You and I, oh, how wonderful, we've got to look forward If we only put our faith and trust in the Lord. And you know, you can read in the Bible how wonderful heaven's going to be. But to see it will be much better. Because, you know, I've had people tell me of the beauties of this world, different things that they saw. I even seen pictures in books. But there was nothing like standing in Yosemite Valley, looking up at those mountains and that waterfall. There was nothing like standing underneath a tree and hearing the wind blow through the top of it when you're not able to lean back far enough to see even a halfway up that tree. You'd have had to lay down on your back to have been able to see the top. They was trees I was back 100 foot from, and I couldn't really lean back far enough to see the top of it. Well, what's it going to be like? I've had people to tell me about them, how big the tree was. Well, in my mind, I had a picture. But when I seen it, even though I'd seen it in books and many people standing beside them, and it looked so small, it wasn't like standing there for yourself and seeing it. Well, I know the men in the Bible, they wrote it down the best they could. Well, what it's going to be like, the tree of Grimsdale, you and I don't be scared by the things of this world today. Lift your eyes upward, they're much better ahead for each and every one of us. And though the devil in this day and time will try to discourage, our determination should be to dwell upon the things of God where encouragement comes, isn't it? You know, if our heart's right with God, when we leave this life, it makes no difference what happens to this body afterwards. What we will see next will surpass anything that we could ever dream of. And, you know, I don't know what it feels like. I've watched the martins, how they sail on the wind. And you'll see them just without even flapping their wings, when the wind goes right and the way that God taught them to fly, they can just do something with their wings and they'll just go up just real high, aiming right into that wind. And the wind lifting them. And then they'll just fold up their wings and just come diving down and then fan them out and go back up. Looks like just for fun. Well, I don't know what it's going to be like to leave this world and go meet the Lord. I don't think any of us is going to be thinking about we're flying, because our eyes is going to be upon God. You and I today, I don't know, once we enter into that holy city where God is, I don't know how long we will be there before our mind will ever leave thoughts about God and praising Him. You know, as I was reading here in Revelations, the 5th chapter and the 11th verse said, "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You and I, now here it said, saying with a loud voice. You know, if you've got 10,000 and thousands of thousands, you know, if every one of them in unison whispered those words, it would sound loud. But when they all say it in a loud voice, Can you imagine what it's going to be like? You and I today, I want to be in that crowd. I want to be where God is and see just what it's like. You know, here, isn't it wonderful to be in a service where people are shouting, and the more they're shouting, seems like the better you feel. Well, what's it going to be like to be in here? It said 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You know, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So we're looking at millions. And all of us, we might think, well, you're just one person in that. You're so insignificant. One person, it makes no difference. It will make difference to you if you will. But God said, you can come and sit down with me and my soul. You know, each and every one of us. It makes no difference for your friends, your loved ones, anybody else wants to go. If you want to go, when you get to heaven, you're going to be totally 100% satisfied. And there's not going to be one person. I don't care if, you know, as I was talking to that physical therapist this week about my children, and they was all in there just shocked to death that I had three children, and I've right now got 13 grandchildren and the 14th one on the way. And I said, well, my youngest daughter married a widower that already had five children, so we jumped a bunch there in a hurry. But, you know, they were just marveling that had so many grandchildren. And, you know, I hope and pray by the star to see each and every one of them in heaven. And if God blesses for them to be born even after I'm gone, great-grandchildren or great-grand, my desire is still to see each and every one of them in heaven. But if not one wants to make it, and everyone turn their back upon God and walk away, when I walk into that city, I'll still shout for eternity. Why? Because God loved me enough to make it possible that I can go. If nobody else wants to go, I'll still be there with God. And that's all that's important. You and I today, we need to sell our gold to make heaven our home. Why? Because God has made it possible for you. And life will soon be over for each and every one of us. And for us to put our mind and heart on anything else is basically a waste of time, because it will do you no good. All that men labor for here in this life basically comes to naught if their heart's not right with God. You know, you can lay up treasures of great wealth. You can lay up, you know, I've heard people talking about with the economy, you're better off to buy gold. Either real gold coins or gold bullion. And, you know, you could have millions of that. That would do you for a long time. But just like God told the man in the Bible, you know, I got laid up for many years. I'll just be at ease. He said, thou fool, this night your soul's going to be required of you. Then whose soul he's going to be? What good is it going to do you? Your soul is going to stand before me and give an account. And all of this will do you no good. You've left it all behind. You know, nobody can stand at judgment and come short and say, well, God,
I've got great wealth in a bank down there on earth. You can have it all if you'll just let me go in there. He'd tell you that was mine before you laid it up, and it's mine because you left it. You have nothing, and you have nothing before you come into the world, and because you didn't live for me, you have nothing now but what awaits you in eternity, hell and destruction. But he said, for us to lay up treasures in heaven where the thief, the moth, nothing can get in and destroy it. People say, yeah, but I can't buy nothing with that here. It don't do me any good. What you buy here is going to be destroyed. Lay it up there. And he said, you can go where it is. What is that treasure? The right to go to heaven by living for God. You know, I've often wondered, Paul and the men back there in the Bible, I don't believe had the slightest inkling of what they wrote down on paper, what it was going to mean, how many people it would reach. You know, you'll find Paul one place told them to read them and to read other epistles that have been wrote to others. But I don't think Paul foreseen that right at 2,000 years out in the future, those words would still be being read. And you think, because he was obedient, you think of the people down across eternity in heaven that's going to come up to Paul and say, Paul, I'm the lowest in my life, and the devil is trying his best to destroy me. I read your word that in prison you was able to save. That place in death you was able to still testify. God was able to do all for us that we had put our faith and trust in. He was waiting for us to give us all the promises. That kept me inspired. You and I, what kind of a blessing is that going to be? All over again for Paul, for all of eternity. You and I, all the things that we lay up in heaven, working here for God, we can go to be with. And be in that crowd, that multitude standing at the throne of God, praising God. You know, you'll find here in the fourth chapter, in the eighth verse, here it said, and the four bees had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They rested not, saying that, praising God continually. You and I, won't it be wonderful to be in that crowd?
Amen.
You know, I've been in services where people would start singing Amazing Grace. And I can remember D.M. Creed when I was a kid. He's singing that, and the Spirit just comes down, and he sang that verse where he says, when we've been there 10,000 years, he said, he just stopped everybody. And he said, sing 10 million, because when they've been there 10 million, you'll still be just like you just be God. And they sang that verse about three times, not because it was praise and worship as a lot of people does this day and time, just keep repeating the same thing over and over. But it was because the Spirit was there and people were shouting all over the church. Why? Because they began to realize truly there is no end of the land when we go into that holy city. You and I today
God is still reaching down saying, won't you come? He said, go and compel them to come. You and us today, it's time for us to reach out and let the world know there's already suffering that's already been planned. And we have an invitation to go to it where we can go in and be with Him for all of eternity.
And I don't know about you, but that's one I don't want to miss. You know, in my lifetime, I've got quite a few wedding invitations, and a lot of times they send them when they know you can't come. But because they know you, they send you out one anyhow. Well, you know, a lot of times it is because it's too inconvenient, too far to travel, or whatever reason might keep you from it. But you know, that invitation that God has given, don't let anything keep you from keeping that. There is nothing that you will ever come across that's worth missing that one. And God has made it possible that we can go where He is. If we will invite Him in to live within us, He said, I'll invite you to come and live where I am. And that's something I want to make sure. There's so much that God has blessed me with here in this life. Little Charlene out running in the yard, and I was just thanking God. Didn't see her doing her up here singing and clapping her hands. You know, these are just little kids that God has blessed us with, and they're so beautiful, so perfect. Let's make sure we don't mess them up. Let's make sure we raise them to know and to love God, and that the things of God will be more important to them than anything else in life. Even when they get 16 years old, that what will be more important to them will be living a Christian life than having a fancy car. Living a Christian life to a world we've got a testimony that will reach our friends and love them than to take them to some fancy place in our car. You know, I know all kinds of people that got fancy cars, and in such a short time, that fancy car was a means of their death. You and I, if we introduce our friends to Christ, that will give them life. A lot of times the things here in this world that we introduce them to, it just brings sorrow and unhappiness. Before we get some song to sing, I beg each and every one of you. You know, you might be in fine health. You might not be having some of the problems that I've had. Like I said, last night I had to take 2 nitroglycerin pills in 15 minutes. And I don't remember how long ago it's been that I had my bypass surgery. I carry one of them little bottles in my pocket. The prescription has wore out on them. Several times, and I'd have it get another little bottle, and I had never taken one out of it. Since I had my bypass surgery, one time before, I thought I was having a problem, and I took one, and all it does is give me a splitting headache, and I realized I didn't really need it. Last night, I took 2 and never got a headache, but it corrected the problems that I was having in my chest. And I thank each and every one of you for praying for me. But you know, we never know. I may outlive every one of you here. None of us knows. And you, though you may be young and thinking, I've got a long life ahead of me, there's not a thing wrong with me. Your heart can stop at any time. And when it quits beating, you've gone to meet God. That's it. And are you ready this morning? I don't care if you're young or if you're old. If you can't right now say, my greatest desire is to see what waits for me in heaven. Right now, that's my greatest desire. I beg you, come and know God to where that is. You know, oh, like I said so many times, I love the Martins when they come and listen to them sing, but it's all too short. I can't hardly believe when they start in and out and leaving. I love the Lilacs. I love this. I love that. But they've got such a short season that you can enjoy it. God put you right in your heart.
I'm so thankful it's not seasonal. But every day it's springtime with you and the Lord. If you just let Him guide you, you can be producing just like that lemon tree. You can be blooming, have small fruit, have bigger fruit, and have fruit for harvest all at the same time. If you let God be in your life, King. While we sing, will you come? What's in your heart today? Can you truly say that your love for the Lord surpasses anything else? You know, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love God better than all of them. Because they were not able to do for me what God has done for me. Nobody could forgive me of my sins but God. Nobody has the power to heal but God. Nobody has the power to lengthen your life but God. Nobody has the power to take your life but God. Are you willing to lay it in His hands today? Will you come? Is your heart truly right with God?